Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave the magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. I want to go ahead and take this opportunity to thank you all so very much for tuning in to our broadcast. We've been on the air now for about 6.5 years. Well, just over, almost 6.5 years. And I want to thank you all for all of the blessings and your cooperation and your support. Tonight we've got a very good show planned for you tonight. I certainly hope that many of you all receive the communications that we send out to remind you about upcoming shows and so forth and so on. So I want you to pay close attention tonight. We're broadcasting live out of Florida this evening, and we're so happy about that. I want you to website when you get an opportunity, drjessewalker.com or even drjessewalkerinc.com. You can visit one of those websites and read all about various products and services that we're offering out there. If you have a question or a comment, you want a particular show to be done, you can certainly reach us at, you can call my office for coaching services or anything there along those lines, 954-367-6766. 954-367-6766. We'll be more than happy to entertain your request. If you got a show topic and you want us to talk about that, we also will be glad to look at that and consider it as well. Tonight we're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, and it's also can be a sensitive issue. So we don't want to go without saying that. It can also be a sensitive issue. So I want you to know that we certainly respect everybody's views and opinions and their thoughts and different things when it comes to things of spirituality or religion. Tonight's topic we're going to be dealing with the question of should parents force their teenage children to go to church? You know, that's the big question. Should parents force their teenage children to go to church? And I know it's a very sensitive issue, again, and we want to put that out there. By all means, I don't want to give the impression that I'm trying to tell parents what to do, by no means form of the imagination. But I just think that it would be a good thing to tune into this broadcast. Of course, if you have a comment, press 1. You want to press 1 early so that you can be able to get in on the show tonight. So I encourage you to do that. Press 1 when you have an opportunity if you want to be able to make a contribution to tonight's broadcast. All right, we're going to be reading the story shortly. I believe my co-host is going to be joining me, Ms. Audrey Blake. I will certainly be looking out for that. It may be that she's traveling. She may have informed me that she might be traveling, but we're going to see. Matter of fact, I think she's coming in with us right now. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Let's bring in Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, it's so good to have you this evening.
Hi, Dr. Walker. How are you today?
Doing just good. I trust you are as well.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. We're getting you vaguely in and out for some reason.
Okay. Can you hear me any better?
I hear you
a
lot
call
better.
Back in. Okay.
No, I think we can hear you better now. All right.
Okay.
All right. Ms. Blake, you want to go ahead and get your commercial out there, and then we'll get right to the story, because I know this hour is going to go real fast, and I want to be able to, of course, always give you that opportunity.
Well, I'll keep it very brief. I'd just like to remind the listeners that if you're looking for life coaching services, I am a certified professional life coach, and I do coaching via Internet, Skype, FaceTime, and by phone from all over the United States. If you're having issues with stress, making decisions about changing a career, starting a project, finishing a project, relationship issues, divorce issues, I'd be more than happy to speak with you. I do offer a 30-minute complimentary session by phone, and you can contact me by going to the website, which is fosteringleaders.org, or you can go to yourprofessionallifecoach.com. You also can call the main line for the company, which is 770-866-2162. And I'll say a little bit more next week as we get closer to the Decatur Book Festival about my appearance there. But having said that, I'm looking forward to the show tonight, Dr. Walker.
All right, excellent, excellent. You know, sometimes what we do is we do just a basic recap of the previous week's show. Do you recall what we went over last week or any of the previous shows that we've done?
Oh, wow. I tell you, a little bit of it. You can get started. I've been dealing with a lot of coaching this week, so. But you can get started and I'll jump right in.
Not a problem at all. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we talked about on a previous show was dealing with, actually, one of the shows that we've had that I wanted to place some emphasis on just before we got into tonight's broadcast, and that was. Dealing with equality in the relationship. When we talk about equality in the relationship, we're going to be doing a show on that coming up. You know, are there double standards in relationships? These are actually some of the titles that will be coming up with some of the shows that we're going to be doing, double standards in relationships. We're going to be bringing some various guests on as we talk about those various shows. So, excuse me. As we go on, I may bring one or two of the previous show comments in a moment. But for now, what we're going to do, we're going to get ready to go straight to tonight's story. Are you ready for that?
Yes, I am. Looking forward to it.
Okay. All right. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the question of should parents force their teenage children to go to church? And before I go to the story, let me ask you this question. Just off the top of your head, should parents force their teenage children to go to church?
Absolutely not. That's my opinion.
Okay, wow. Okay, all right.
I feel very strongly about that one.
you feel very strong about that one, you say?
I do.
Okay, and tell me why is that? Why do you feel so strong about that one?
Well, I've raised two sons. They're both adults, and so I've been through the process. And I just don't believe that religion should ever be a forced thing. I do believe that when they're very young, you teach them and you set a pattern of behavior. But then the whole goal for me in raising my children was to foster independent thinking, not brainwashing. And I think when you get to a point where you start forcing a teenager who is supposed to be at a point of making independent decisions to go to church, I know people who probably do it and say, well, you're in my house, you're going to church. But you don't want them to grow up hating God, or you can't force a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I am a Christian, so I'm all for the importance of a relationship with Jesus Christ. But at the same time, it's not a forced thing. God doesn't force us to serve him.
Okay, Ms. Blake, I think that was a very good synopsis of some of the things that we're going to, matter of fact, take a look at. So let's go right to the story then. Let me bring that up right here into the studio. All right. The question is, should parents force their teenage children to go to church? Tonight's characters in the story are Henry and Jane's family. Henry and Jane, like Dick and Jane, Henry and Jane. Henry and Jane are a very religious couple who make extraordinary demands to go to church on their three children, two of whom are teenagers. The oldest child is 23 years of age, rebellious, has completed college, married, and wants nothing to do with the church or religion, for that matter. He still believes in God, but does not believe so much in organized religion. This practice of forcing or demanding the children to go to church has been going on since the children, since their primary years. All three of the children are turned off from their methods, from the parents' methods, including the oldest child, whom Henry and James still try to make him feel guilty when not attending church. Now, his relationship with his parents is distant because he does not subscribe to their religious practice. Now, the other two children can't wait to leave the home, so they, too, can follow steps of the oldest child. Now, some of the complaints that the children have include the parents worship on the home. They worship in the home 7 days a week, 2 to 3 times a day, with each worship session being a minimum of 30 minutes. Another problem that they're complaining about is both parents' prayers are extremely long. So in other words, when the parents pray, each one is praying, and the prayers are very long. The third complaint that they have is the children must attend church 3 times per week for midweek services that are often boring. They must also sit with the parents in every one of these sessions. Another thing is there are very few activities at the church that cater to the young generation. The children are only allowed to watch programs on TV that are approved by their parents. The children are only allowed to listen to music at home that's also approved by their parents. The children are not allowed to have social media accounts. The children share a cell phone with specified minutes that have limited capabilities. Now, the parents also struggle financially to keep the children in a church school. The parents appear to be so old-fashioned until the children really do not like to be seen with them, and they are only in their early 40s. These are the parents. They are only in their early 40s. Now, the children are so frustrated, they can't wait to leave home. The question that we start out with tonight is, are the parents doing the right thing? Ms. Blake, now, I've heard what you said earlier. You know, you talked about God doesn't force us to serve him. You know, he wants us to serve him out of love. Then are the parents doing the right thing in this case? Or could it be, I mean, they're only in their early 40s. Could it be that they're trying to force the kids to go through something that they themselves may have gone through?
It's possible. And I want to start out by saying everybody has a different parenting style. And I respect that. There is no perfect way to parent. And so if there are people listening out there that are doing that, I'm not saying that you're a bad parent, but I'm just saying personally for the it's all about what type of individual do you want to raise. What type of adult are you trying to raise? If you want somebody who can think for themselves, or you want somebody who doesn't think for themselves. And some of those things that they're doing probably aren't bad and won't harm them. I will say this briefly, as having worked with teens in the school, parents who are very strict, you're going to find out that your children are just going to find a way to do it behind your back. And it will damage the trust relationship between you and your child. So I've seen it happen again and again. So, I mean, like trying to keep your kids not on social media. Well, they can find a way to get on social media, and they can have an account that you don't know about.
Okay, I think that is so true. Ms. Blake, your phone's coming in a little muzzled. I don't know why. It could be this end as well.
It's positive.
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah,
okay.
Where you are right now, that sounds a lot better. Let me also say this here, in terms of the question, are the parents doing the right thing? They may be doing what they feel is best for the children, you know, based on what they know. But I think too much of anything can be that overindulgence can also backfire, because remember, they got a 23-year-old that has rebelled. And their other kids, they got to see that their attitudes, the parents have got to see that these children's attitudes are all also reflective of what the 23-year-old has presented when he was home with them as well. And those kids can't wait to leave. So the parents have got to see that. So I think that it may be a bit extreme, and I think that it could could do more hurt than harm. We're going to go to phone lines in a moment. But let me just that, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. What would it profit them that they put all of this pressure on these three children, and then none of them, like the first one, doesn't want to have anything to do with the church or religion for that matter. What does it profit the parents at that point? All you did was just drill it down to them, and now the children are rebellious. So did they accomplish the mission? What do you think? Go ahead.
Right. And I think when they're younger, those impressionable years, 1 through 5, that's the time where they need to, really impress the love of God and church. And again, I hear that the church doesn't have any activities for the younger people. That's a problem. You have to keep youth engaged. I used to be a youth assistant youth leader where I did skits and plays and rap sessions with the young folks back in the day. And, you have to keep them engaged. And many of those individuals that I work with are now adults, and, they still go to church. But that's because they had something to keep them engaged, and they learned to develop that relationship. It wasn't jammed down their throats. I think that makes a difference.
I believe so, too. Let's go to the phone lines. Our first call for this evening, we're going to go to 863-412. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hello, Dr. Walker and
Ms. Blake.
Ms. Blake.
Always,
how
Blake,
how you doing?
I'm all right.
Welcome to the show.
Dennis, thank you for joining us. Go ahead, Dennis. Give us your thought.
I was in a meeting over in Orlando, and church leaders met with some young people, and they were asking them about their feelings about church service and church. And it all came out that at 13 years old, you start losing young people because, one, they go on social media and learn about different things that's happening in their church. And two, if they ask a question and you can't answer it, they go and they Google it and get an answer. It may not be the answer that you want them to have, but they can answer questions that they ask you that you sometimes hee-haw about, that you beat around the bush about. They'll come up with an answer. And if you ask them, they'll tell you their honest opinion. Trying to cram it down their throat is not going to work because they may not say anything for a while just out of respect for you, but then they'll come back and hold it against you. When the young people are teenagers, can't heard because you're not listening, somebody out there is listening to them and will listen and give them the answers they're looking for. So I'm trying to force them to go. You're working against a situation that you have. I know of a man that he started when they were almost, some of them were teenagers and some of them were younger. And when they became 18 and could leave home, they left home and left the church because he was forcing it down their throats. And he was very opinionated and didn't care what they thought. It was his way or the highway, and they chose the highway.
Wow, that's interesting, Dennis. We invite you all to send your comments in as well. We'd like to hear from you all. And of course, if you want to talk to the host or the co-host, press 1 on your dial. When it comes to these parents, Henry and Jane, could it be that they're drilling them like drill sergeants because they may have gone through this and they stayed? If this was the method that their parents instilled into them, what was the motivating factor, you think, that caused them to stay and become so rigid?
But I listened to the story, And it didn't say that they grew up that way. It just said that that's the way they are now.
Right, but I'm asking you, what if it was that way, that's the way that they grew up, that's caused them to stay? Let's just assume for a moment that maybe they grew up in the church that way, and they stayed. I mean, here they are. Because to find a couple in their early 40s like that, I would think that that's kind of unusual. And maybe not. The extremities are here, where they've got their kids in church so much. So what if they were, if it was real, what may have caused that couple to stay, you know, in the church?
It could be because they had a personal relationship or a personal tragedy, and God answered a prayer, God brought them through some things, and they stuck with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like what you said earlier, too, about these children, you know, when you cram it down their throats. You talked about this what the church was talking about recently in a meeting that you attended. And, you know, you talked about a guy who was cramming down his kid's throat, and then later they rebel. And I think that that's what kids will do when it's overload, when it becomes overload. And I think Ms. Blake said it earlier, or you may have said it, Dennis, that when you keep them off social media, they're going to find a way to have an account. You just won't know it. They're using their friend's cell phone, even at their church group. Let's bring in another call. We're going to go to 954-226. Who do we have on the air this evening? Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, how are you, Rose? And give us your thoughts, Rose, on tonight's broadcast.
This is a really hard one. As I listened to everyone, you know, and also the story, you know, so many things went through my mind, and I don't want to take up too much time, so I'll just point out one thing that I thought about, is that, you know, as Ms. Blake said, you know, parents raise their kids in different ways, you know, totally agree with that, and with this couple, I don't know why they're so rigid, but maybe they probably think they're doing the best for their kids, you know, and they're probably thinking they really don't want them out there in the world, and so they're doing whatever they need to do while they're living in their home. And they might be thinking, you know, once they raise them in the church the way they think they're supposed to, when they get older and they go on their own, you know, and do whatever they want to do, go contrary to what they're taught, the parents are probably saying, you know what, I raised them, or we raised them the way we believe God wanted us to, and now they're responsible for themselves, you know, and they make their own decisions, and we're just not going to concern ourselves that much with the decisions that they're making. We'll just keep them in prayer, because there's nothing much they can do anymore after the kids become of age. But while they're living in their parents' home, the parents feel like they're doing what God would want them to do. For me, I think it's a bit rigid, you know. But again, everyone raised their kids the way they see fit. I think when you give a little leeway, you know, the kids don't seem so overwhelmed and overbearing with what you're shoving down their throat. But, again, everyone raised their kids in a different way. And the question I just heard you ask Dennis about, why do you think these parents are the way they are, could it be that their parents raised them that way? And if they did, why did they adhere to their parents? And I would say one reason why they might have, if that were the case, is that their parents are older, and when they were young, you know, most times older people back then didn't probably read for themselves. They just listen to their parents and do whatever the parents tell them, and they believe that the parents are right. But now, younger generation, they actually research for themselves, and they have their own mind, you know, and so maybe that's one of the reasons why their kids or the new generation go their own way.
I think that is I think that's a good way to look at it, Rose. You know, maybe things were different during that time. And so nowadays, I mean, times are changing. So does that mean that, you know, Ms. Blake, I want to throw this out there, based on some of the things that Rose said, does that mean that down the road things could become even more, perhaps watered down? Some might use that expression as being watered down, and until, I mean, it's like, you know, the churches become smaller and smaller when it comes to the younger people. And even the, so that means even they're not getting as old being with the church. What do you think, Ms. Blake?
Well, I have seen, I mean, all churches are different, but I have seen in some churches where you do lose your young people when they become young adults. And it's because, I believe that's part of it, because maybe they don't feel engaged anymore. You definitely, I like something that Dennis said in terms of, yes, that the churches are reaching out to find out, you know, what is causing the young people to leave. So, you know, I personally, and I talk about my own children, I wanted them to serve God because they love God, not because it was something they thought they had to do, not because it's something they think they need to do so they won't go to hell. I can't. That should not be the motivation. It should be a true love relationship. Like, I love God. And, you know, that has to be nurtured and fostered. And so forcing someone to go to church does not, to me, does not foster that type of relationship.
All right, I think that's interesting. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. We're going to go to 305-741. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have on the air? You are live.
This is 305-741.
Shanithia, thank you for joining us, Shanithia. It's nice to have you. Shanithia, give us your thoughts on, you know, should parents force their teenage children to go to church?
Well, first, before I even answer that question, I strongly believe that before a parent can force their child to go to church, they need to have some kind of relationship in the home, whereas maybe worship in the mornings, worship in the evenings, because if a child grows up being forced to go to church one time a week and thinking, okay, once Sunday comes, Monday, we'll have to talk about Jesus or God, but we're forced to go on this one day, I mean, that's when a child will start to wonder, okay, what's going on, you know? However, if a child is raised where their parents or single parent is very involved in the church and, you know, trying to let their child or children know more about God, reading the Bible, then I believe that will bring the child more closer to God and more closer to wanting to go to church. But if you're just forcing it, then, you know, it's not going to be very pleasant. Me, for example, I loved going to church growing up. However, I can honestly say that I wasn't too fond of church when I was in college. Why? Because I went to Oakwood and I was forced to go three times a week, and if I don't, I get in trouble. And with that, it kind of turns a student off from going to church because they're actually forced. And if you don't go, you get in big trouble. But, you know, to each his own, everyone is different. I'm sure some people enjoy going to church three times a week, but I wasn't raised like that. So to go from one time to now three times, that's very, you know, different.
Okay, Shanita, let me ask you a couple of questions based on tonight's story with Jane and Henry. This couple, I mean, they are in their early 40s. They have a 23-year-old son, and then they have two teenagers. And these children they were having worship in the home. I'm just going to reiterate the story sort of to all of our listeners if you just joined us. These children had to go, they had worship in the home three times a day. And the minimum service for each one of these worship sessions was 30 minutes. And then when the parents both prayed, they prayed for long periods of time. Now, in addition to that, they were cut off from social media growing up. they couldn't have, they had a cell phone that they share. Now that they're older, they have a cell phone that they share. And what happens is they have one of these phones where you got limited minutes and limited capabilities. And they have to, they can't watch television unless the parents approve their television programs. They can't listen to music unless the parents approve their music that they're listening to. So it was, and they have to go to church 3 times a week. And they have to sit with their parents. So let me just ask you, Shanithia, let me just go back and ask this question. Do you think that that is a major turnoff for those kids? Because the oldest one is already rebelled.
It definitely is. Number one, kids will be kids, okay? So if you tell a child, oh, you cannot do, you cannot have social media, please believe us, if a child sees that all their friends have it, they will find a way to have it behind your back and without you knowing. With the whole TV situation, I know of a young girl, actually. She's probably like 17 right now. And her mother is very strict. And, you know, she's 7 years Venice. She's not allowed to watch movies. She's not allowed to watch TV. However, her father is the total opposite. Of course, they're not together. So, you know, this young girl, she's 17, she has her own laptop. So please believe, as soon as she's away from home, she is on her laptop watching rated R movies, watching, you know, shows that her mom wouldn't approve of, you know, and her mom won't allow her to go to prom. So what did she do? She snuck out and used her dad. Her dad took her. You know, so, I mean, parents have to be more open and have to form a relationship with their child to see what's really going on in their child's head and how they really feel, because if not, you're going to lose something very special. And I personally feel like it's very special to have a relationship with your child. And if you lose that, you're not going to know who your child is. Your child's going to grow up, and you're not going to know one thing about them except for this false thing that you believe is in them, because that's how you raise them and what you shove down their throat when they're actually the total opposite, but you haven't taken the time out to see how they feel, to see how, you know, to see how they really are.
Wow, Shanithia, that is, I mean, it's almost like I agree with everything that you're saying here, because Ms. Blake said it earlier. If you're going to keep them away from the very thing that you're trying to keep them away from, they find a way around that to get to it. Let's go to Rose just for a second. Then we're going to go to 404-453. Rose, do you think that there's any, what Shanithia has presented is maybe the minds of some of these younger people, like in the case with Jane and Henry, their children, they just can't wait to get out of that house, like the older one.
Oh, yes, and it's very important, as she said, to have that relationship with the child. However, I don't think you need to give in to everything the child wants, you know, because you still have to be the parent. But I agree that you need to form that relationship. And when you're so strict, of course, you know that once the child leaves your presence, they're going to do what you don't want them to do. So it's best to have that relationship and know what your child is doing. This way your child can come to you instead of going to someone else.
All right, we're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Let's go to 404-453. Welcome, you're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Yeah, Dr. Walker.
Yes, who do we have on the air with us? Thank you for joining us.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly now. Sounds like you've got the radio on in the background. We're picking that up as well.
Yeah, sorry about that. What happened is that the situation with, I think maybe the way they were brought up was very rigid. And they think that, you know, any means necessary, they have to get their children in the right way, you know. And so sometimes we are ignorant and, we don't know. There's certain things that we don't know, but we think we're on the right, we're doing the right thing. So that's the way I think about
it. I agree with that. Sometimes parents don't know, but if they can see, but in this case, you've got one child that's 23 now. He doesn't want to have anything to do with religious programs or the church. Couldn't you think that your rigidness may have turned him off, and it could also turn off these other two children? So, I mean, where is it that the parents start to learn that they might be going about this the wrong way?
I don't know. I think it's a process, you know. I think they're still trying to go through it. I think it's a process that they're going through. Sometimes people are so stuck in a rut that they don't see, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel right now. They feel like they're doing the right thing and they're just hell-bent on doing it, you know, which doesn't reflect in a positive way for the kids, you know. So I think at some point they're going to realize that what they're doing is wrong.
Okay, all right. Leon, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a moment. We're going to go back to Dennis and Dennis Blake, and we'll bring Shanithia back in as well. Rose, we're going to ask you to stand by as well. Let me just go ahead, Dennis, and ask the question. Dennis, how can parents look and say that they're wrong when, in fact, you got so many other people all around that you can look at other families and see that, hey, maybe they've lost some children as they've gotten older. Their children are no longer in the church. I mean, can't they just look at that and say that, you know, I don't want to make that same mistake and run my children away?
Sometimes I'm blind and can't see because everything has to be their way.
All right. Dennis, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're getting you're going in and out, so we're going to ask you to stand by. Maybe technical difficulty on there. Ms. Blake, let me bring you back in. And ask that same question. Why can't it be the parents look at other families and say, you know what, I may have made a mistake on that end, and let me not make a mistake with, I mean, they may have made a mistake on that end. I don't want to do what they did to run my kids away. And I like what Shanithia said, and that was that, you know, you got to have that relationship with the kid. You know, it starts there at home. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
Yeah, I do agree with what Dennis said. Unfortunately, you do have some families who are so bent on doing it their way until they just won't bend. And I'm wondering if this might be one of those families, because the fact that they're so rigid, you know, they just may believe they're doing the right thing. I would hope that they would be open-minded, but this doesn't sound like a very open-minded family.
All right. We're going to ask you all to stand by once again. Shanice, we're going to bring you in a minute, but let me go. We got a number of comments that have come into the studio as well. Let me go to 917-399. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Hi, Dr. Walker.
Hi. Who do we have with us this evening?
Hi, you have Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us. Angela, can you help us make some sense out of some of this? Should parents force their teenage children to go to church?
No, they shouldn't force them to go to church. Welcome to the computer age, where kids are learning more via internet, YouTube, about everything, about the planet, about our history. You have other religious groups debating the Bible. They're having Bible study on YouTube, and that's where I've been doing, is accessing the YouTube and following certain groups and trying to get their opinion about where we come from and why we in the position that we're in as Black people today. So, yes, welcome to the computer age. This is why the government is trying to regulate it, so that we can't find out exactly what the truth is.
Okay, so are you saying, Angela, that maybe what has been presented in some of the churches is a turn off because it's not truth? Is that what you're saying or implying?
Exactly. I'm finding out that the churches is just part of a government plot to keep us uninformed.
Wow, that's rather serious. Okay, that's a whole other show at another time. Let me go to Ms. Blake and ask the question. Ms. Blake, I mean, Do you think that there might be some validity to some of that?
I'm not really sure. I'm sorry, Dr. Walker. I don't know. You mean to the last comment?
Yes.
I'm not really sure about that one. But I do believe that there are things that that we don't know that are being kept from us, but I'm not sure. I can't really speak to the last comment. I can't validate that.
All right. Let's take some of these comments that have come into the studio. We have a number of comments, and we are short on time. I see we only got about 19 minutes before we end the show tonight. Let me start with this first comment, and let's send this one over to Shanitia. Let me make sure I understand this first comment that has come into the studio. All right, here we go. All right. The first comment that has come in, and we're going to give that one, as I said, to Shanitia. This female writes in, she says, I don't think it's a good idea to force your teenage child or children to go to church because I feel they are likely to rebel when they get older. So I think this was something that Shanitia spoke to earlier. So we're going to go back to her and ask her, do she think that this female has the right message? Shanitia, give us your thoughts.
I don't know that.
I'm so sorry. Can we
read
that?
Shanitian? Hello? We're going to ask Shanitian to come back. Maybe we can bring Angie. We'll bring you back in. This young lady says that she feels that one of the things is that when young people, let me read it again. I don't think it's a good idea to force your teenage child or children to go to church, because I feel they are likely to rebel when they get older. Is this what you think, Angela, is happening to the young people? They're rebelling as they get older because they were forced?
Yes, and once again, it's because of knowledge and not lack of knowledge. People are starting to think on their own and not think the way other people want them to think, and they have their own minds. So they're going to judge everything. I have my kids questioning me all the time about the Bible. My son, who has went to a Christian high school, he went to a Christian university, and he and I have these discussions all the time. However, he thinks that I could be a little racist sometimes. But my other two kids, they don't think that.
Okay. All right. Just stand by just for a second. Rose, we're going to give you a comment, Rose, and ask you this question. This comment has just come in. This male writes in, he says, since I believe that God does not force us to serve him, I don't believe it is fair to have to force your children to go to church when they get to be teenagers.
Well, I understand how he feels. I know that God doesn't force us, but God gives us, as parents, a job to do. You know, we have to raise our children to serve him and to worship him. So therefore, my thing is, if you're living in my house, then you're going to adhere by that rule. I'm going to have my kids going to church. You know, I want to raise them going to church. I'm not going to say I'm going to be like the couple where you're so rigid going to church, you know, three nights a week, worshiping three times per day, and all that long thing. But you got to respect the rules if you're going to be living in my house. So, you're going to have to go to church. I'm sorry.
All right, Leon, let me go to you and ask the question. Do you think that that's the way it should be? As long as you're in that person's house, the parent's house, that, you know, you're going to go by, is my way or the highway?
Yeah, I'm going to look at it this way. When the child was born, the parents have to instill certain qualities and principles in the child. Like, they start worshiping from they were little. And if there's no love in it, the child's going to rebel. Because you know, love does not force. You know, so I think if the child is like maybe 16, I mean, they should have seen something different. They should have been seeing something different from that age. But it seems as if they're not getting it in love. It's just like my way or the highway. And sometimes that's not right. You know, sometimes you could say that, but sometimes know, it's best for you to just, you know, just do your work, do what you're supposed to do. And, you know, the child is not, you know, doing, oh, they're doing wrong or so forth, you know. But, you know, at times if you plant the seed, you know, it will grow and they'll come back to what you're trying to teach.
Okay, all right. Ms. Blake, let's bring you back in just before we go to the phone lines again. I mean, I know it's a tough thing, but I think anything rigid is not good. I know it's a tough thing, but anything rigid is not good. Why is it that rigid things are not good, Ms. Blake, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, again, I believe in fostering independent thinking. I do like what Ms. Dupree said. You know, people are learning to think for themselves, not just to believe everything they hear. And so you want your children to be able to get out there and maneuver in the world without just, you know, being able to think for themselves. So being rigid, it fosters force. I think it's a recurring theme that we are hearing tonight on the show, that's not the way to go about doing it.
All right. Let's take some more of the comments, and we really only have about 13 minutes left. Next comment comes in, male writes in. He says, I personally feel that if you train your children in the Lord, they will not likely have a problem going to church on their own merits as they get older. I'll comment on this one here. I tend to agree with that. If you train them, I think all we can do is train them in the Lord to the best way that we can. Leon said it earlier, Rose, and many of us have already said that. But I think, again, I place emphasis on when you overdo it, because you don't know if you're doing it right or not. There's no guarantee. So I just think that there has to be moderation with everything that we do, even when it comes to having the children in church, doing the moderation. I think it becomes the parents' responsibility to make sure that the church has programs, some type of programs, or find a church that has programs that can meet the needs of the kids. Even if it is social media, find out if they can have a spiritual group within that social media. But not everything is so religious that the children don't get an opportunity to breathe what's practical for them. So I think that moderation is the key. All right, let's take another comment, and we're going to try Dennis again on this particular comment. This female writes in, she says, as we get older, we realize there are no guarantees in life. I think we can only do what we can do when it comes to raising our children spiritually and hope they will want to do that which is right as they get older, whatever right is. Let's go to Dennis for that one. You know, she's saying there are no guarantees, and the same thing I just said. Dennis, what do you think? Just raise them the best way that you can and live the best way you can for that matter.
Very true. We're not perfect beings, and we have to live the way we understand, sometimes the way we're taught. And we didn't, you know, our parents weren't perfect either. But as we learn things, we try to do things. We don't know why this Jane and her husband are so rigid. But that's maybe something they have gone through, and they, so, you know, and we do things, we just try to do the best we can. You know, I try to raise my kids right. I can't say I did all the right things, but we have to be living examples. And, you know, by us not being perfect, you know, our kids may say, oh, look at them. They didn't do it right.
Okay. I think that's an interesting thing. I think we're on the same page with that. Just do the best that you can. We're going to go to Angie on this particular comment. Let's see here. That comment is, Angie, I think we're getting some feedback from your phone. Let me go with this comment. She says, all right, female says, my parents forced me to go to church so much as a child and even as a teenager until as an adult, I don't see the need to spend that much time in church. It does not change any of my views from believing in God. I just think you can overdo anything. And she's saying you can overdo anything. I mean, is there, what do you think? It was forced upon her.
I agree, Dr. Walker.
Okay. Now, Angie, you're even saying that you're starting to watch, I guess you're reducing your time going to church, but you're starting to pick up programming on YouTube and so other social media about various programs. Is that what I heard you say earlier?
Yes. At this current time, I'm following the Hebrew Israelites, and in the past, I've studied with Jehovah's Witnesses. I've studied with the Mormons. I haven't tried Allah as of yet, but that's something that I want to try also. But at this point, to me, they're all selling a story. And now I'm getting back into history, to the beginning of time, because man has been here before Christianity, before the Bible. So what were we doing then? So everything's a question for me now. And I think that each child, once they grow up, they have their own mind, and they go out and learn on their own. Some of us stop learning, and some of us don't.
Okay, I want to ask you this question then. That's going to be a whole other show. But are you following these various denominations or religions because you were forced to go to church as a child, and this later was your rebelliousness, or what?
Absolutely not. I'm not following any of them. I believe in God. However, I want to search for God myself, and I'm doing that, going through various different types of religion. History has shown that religion has been tampered with, and some of us really don't know why, and some of us do, and I'm starting to find out why it has turned me off of religion, but I still believe in God.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question, and this is another show, but I just want to ask this question, and I want you to think about this, because we got to bring a close to this show. Then why is there a need to look at all of these different denominations or religions when you can basically just ask God to lead you to truth? Isn't that what God's word is all about? I want you to think about that. Let me go to Ms. Blake real quick, and I'll come back to you. Ms. Blake, let me pose that out there to you. I mean, you know, when we think about how Henry and Jane have forced, you know, their religious beliefs down their children's throat, I mean, as they get older, the 23-year-old, according, you know, with Angie, what she's saying, there's some validity to that. But why not just ask God and simplify things and say, well, God, it's about you. Why not just simplify our lives and lead us to you? Let me ask you that question, Ms. Blake. What do you think? God is God. He can do whatever he chooses to do.
Right. And I think that is the way to go. I do admire Ms. Dupree in her open-mindedness and thinking. And you're right. That's a whole nother show. I mean, you know, the older I get, I've learned a lot of things. And I'm not so caught up on titles or denominations anymore myself either, because it's about a relate for me personally. It's about a relationship with God, and that's a whole nother show. I think that's good, because honestly, we're more alike than we're different when it comes to various belief systems, I'm realizing that.
All right, we're going to take two more comments. Angie, we're going to give you this other comment that's come in. This man, he writes in, I know the Bible tells us to train up a child, but I think some parents get it wrong and do more to hurt their children by ramming it down their throat. Angie, just give us a quick comment on that. Do the parents get it wrong by ramming it down the children's throat? And I think you've said this so many times already.
Yes. They do. I remember when I was growing up, we were raised up in Baptist, in a Baptist church. We had a friend, we went to, they followed the church, and then we had our family church that we went to. And we went every Sunday, we went to Bible study first, then we went to a regular church service, then an afternoon service. So, yes, I agree with the person that wrote that.
All right, Leon, let's bring you in. Leon, is too much overdoing it?
Yes, I think we are. Like she said, when I was growing up, that's what we used to do too. It was so, I mean, it was like torture. You know, I mean, they just wouldn't stop. They go on, and you're hungry, and you can't, I mean, you have to just stay there. So I think, you know, now that we are more exposed, we don't have to be, you know, confine ourselves to, I mean, what they taught us growing up.
Right.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Dennis, just quickly then. Well, how is it, Dennis, that people will watch the playoff games, the football championships? They spend 3 hours and sometimes 6 hours or 9 hours watching football all day on Sunday. But when it comes to asking even God, you know, I mean, giving God, you know, a few hours a week, 9 hours in one day to watch a football program, you know, several football programs. This family, Jane and Henry, may not have been spending a total of 9 hours for the whole week dealing with church or just over that. So what's the difference here, Dennis? Help me out with that real quickly because we're running out of time. Dennis, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to switch that over. Angie, let me give you that one. Angie, what do you think? I mean, 9 hours, and then boom, here we go.
I hate to say this, Dr. Walker, but I like football better than trying to decipher the Bible itself. There's so many versions of the Bible that I'm not interested in reading the Bible now because I can't understand what I'm reading. So now I need a dictionary to dissect it. And then now I don't believe some of the stories that was in the Bible.
Okay. All right. Let me go back to you real quick and ask you the question that I presented to you earlier for ponderance, and that is, why not just simply ask God to lead you in spirit and in truth? Isn't that what he said he would do?
Well, as a child, I've asked God to lead me in these ways, and I've asked for things not to take place in my life that was harmful. And it seemed like he didn't answer my calls. So, you know, at what point do God answer your call and what type of person you have to be for him to answer it?
Wow, that's interesting. We will be showing that. Let's take this last comment. Let's take this last comment that's come in. And we appreciate Angie's candidness. The way I see it, as long as the children live in my house, they're going to go to church. When they are out on their own and taking care of themselves, they can do what they want. That's something that Rose said earlier as well. She says, "Hey Rose, let's go to you with that." Did she say the same thing that you're saying?
I mean, I said that as long as they're living in my home, they're going to, you know, go to church because that's what we do. But it's not anything rigid or harsh like that. It's because from babies, that's how I'm raising them, you know, to God. So it doesn't seem like I'm throwing it down their throat because by the time that they are teenagers, they enjoy going to church. Because that's how they were raised, but it wasn't raised with rigidness and force. It was raised like that in love. And so by teenage years, they're not sitting beside me in church. And if they're driving their own cars, they're not even driving with me. And we might not even be going to the same exact building, you know, for church. But I know that they're going to church because by that time, they have a love for God. So when I say that, as long as they're in my home, they're going to be going. It's more that they want to go because by that time, they're so accustomed to it and they have grown to love God and to have a relationship with God for themselves that now they just enjoy going.
Okay. Thank you for that. I want to thank all of my callers tonight. Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the final word here, and that is when it comes to, you know, raising children in the home, you know, give us your synopsis, your bottom line here.
No, you can put the thing that
says. Should the parents actually force their children to go to church? I mean, that's you know, not only their teenage children. Well, we're talking about teenagers tonight, so let's stay with that.
Right.
Should they force their teenage children?
Yeah. I would summarize in saying I do like what I think was Rose that said, that you start young in training your children on your value system, because it's all about your value system. And if that indeed is your value system, then you train them young and make it interesting for them so that when they get to be teenagers, they will be able to make the right decision. And so, I don't think you should force a teen. By the time they get then, you're hoping that they make the right choices. And it's not, you don't force those choices on them, but you have trained them in such a way that they'll make the best choices.
I think on that note, I think that that's a clear way also of saying, I want to thank all of my callers this evening, and I appreciate your comments, your opinions, your thoughts. Join us this Friday for your Half Hour Inspiration Program. Of course, you missed this Friday, Half Hour Inspiration Program. Join us once again next Tuesday, 7 p.m. for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.